You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Rodo. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Rodo Experts in the Morning starts now.
It is Wednesday, May 24th, 2017. And this is the Roto Experts in the Morning. Alongside the fantasy executive in his undershirt, the king in a Cortez Kennedy jersey.
Lovely.
And Matt Modica looking tremendous as always. I am Greg Sussman. Happy Wednesday, everybody. It's the hump day. We'll get through it together, and we'll be all downhill toward Memorial Day weekend. Scotty, repping the Cortez Kennedy jersey today. How you feeling?
I'm feeling a little sad. You know, it's Cortez was one of my favorites in the 90s in a very tough decade for the Seahawks. He was part of the all-decade team. He was a defensive player of the year in a year that they won two games, just showing how great he was. Really enjoyed watching him. He would occupy three blockers at a time, allowing Michael Sinclair to like roll up like double-figure sacks because he was just facing a single lineman. Like, arguably the best defensive player in Seahawk history. Hall of Famer, second Seahawk to go in the Hall of Fame out of three. So it's sad to see his loss. I know Chris Dolman, who is represents our network here at some functions, is a friend of his. I know Chris is feeling sad as well today. But it's also a happy day for me today because it's my wedding anniversary.
Oh, nice job. Congratulations to you and the queen.
Congratulations. Yeah. How many years, Scott?
23.
Nice job.
Yeah.
What are you doing for the anniversary?
We'll go out for dinner tonight.
Where are you going?
What, we haven't decided yet. We're bouncing.
Can't even keep a woman for 23 weeks, Scott. Congratulations.
Yeah, 23 days. I know you can't keep going for 23 seconds either. So, you know.
That's not nice.
Unnecessary.
Yeah. If I say something to him, then I would have got in trouble.
If I didn't say something to you, you would have got me at some point.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to get you back. Don't worry about that. What's up?
What's up with you, Corey?
Ain't nothing much, chilling. It's warm in the joint, but I had to disrobe this morning. Hopefully we don't get to the point, because this is on TV, hopefully we don't get to the point where I have my shirt off in this joint. And then that'd be awkward, you know what I mean? But right now I'm hanging. It's tough, the conditions, but we're going to fight through it, get the good fantasy advice out there for the listeners. So I like adversity like this. When the temperature is hot, when the lights is on, fantasy executive steps up. You feel what I'm saying?
It's like the Lakers in the 80s in Boston Garden.
I'm like magic. I'm dishing.
There you go.
Dishing and swishing.
Now you sound like Clyde Frazier from your New York Knicks.
Yeah, those pork chop sideburns, Clyde rocking them joints.
Modica, what's going on with you, man? How are you? I know you had a draft yesterday. You were very excited for that. It was 1 p.m. Eastern time.
It was a big disappointment. We only got 7 picks through.
That's disgusting.
People timing out on the fourth pick.
That sounds like a bit of a letdown, if I had to say so myself.
Pay that money and time out.
Well, we'll go through your mind, your process, later during the show. I have a football note I want to get to. Of course, get into that. We had the Crowell conversation yesterday. We have another football discussion today. Bunch of headlines to get to as well. And we'll talk a little LeBron, Kyrie, and Kevin Love on the other side. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the award-winning Roto Experts in the Morning. We'll be back right after this. On the Roto Experts in the Morning on a Wednesday.
This is hot in here. That's the name of the jam.
Is this Nelly?
Huh? We on fire, yeah. This is We On Fire, Lloyd Banks.
It's not Nelly, hot in here.
This is Lloyd Banks.
Did you say hot in her?
Or that was a good jam too, but this right here was fire when it first came out. Lloyd Banks, G-Unit.
He's in G-Unit, I'm saying G-Unit. Yeah, I knew that. Mm-hmm.
It's a jam. I was chilling.
No, you weren't chilling. You weren't.
I was making babies, to be honest with you. That's what I was doing when this was going on.
Probably just baby.
Yes, Kennedy came around this time. Yes.
All right, Corey. Last night, game number 4 between the Celtics and the King, LeBron. Cleveland was down quite a bit, actually, early in this game. Came back.
16. Yeah.
Came back and wound up winning pretty comfortably, to be honest with you. And Cleveland goes up 3-1 back to Boston for game number 5. LeBron was kind of off early. I know Kyrie did his job getting back in it. Kyrie twisted an ankle early. Kevin Love twisted something as well. LeBron missed a monster dunk. Just missed it. I could not believe
he
it.
He was trying to take the rim off.
Like, I thought he was trying to bring the whole basket down with him.
I think so, too. I mean, that was a critical time in the game. I'll get to LeBron in a minute.
Go ahead.
But Kyrie was phenomenal last night. 42 points?
42.
He rolled his ankle. So that joint is looking like a potato this morning. So it's going to be interesting to see if he has to go in for an MRI, him and Kevin Love, because you want them and the Warriors to both be at full strength. But Kyrie was just showing, I mean, everything that he can do offensively last night, hitting the three, the spin move, the penetration, going to the cup, best layups in the best. Nobody lays the ball up better than Kyrie Irving. He was excellent last night getting that W. LBJ, he started to pick it up in the fourth quarter, but he does not look right. Yeah. It's interesting when a player like LeBron James, they go to Boston, he's dominant. I'm not speculating. Then they come home to Cleveland, and he's out of it. I'm just saying.
Career playoff high for Kyrie. Like, you put it perfectly, Corey. It's just like the penetration moves are just like, you know, they were just like spectacular. And, you know, but everybody says about Kyrie is true. You know, the big moments, you know, he's going to pick it up and shine. You know, like we said, like Greg said, they were down by 16. And, you know, LeBron actually got in some foul trouble, but Kyrie really picked it up. You know, that's what they say about the Cavs, that, like, you know, if LeBron is down, like, Kyrie will pick them up and LeBron will follow. And that's exactly what happened. You know, the guys for the Celtics, that they needed to step up, guys like Smart, you know, and Bradley, you know, they were off their game last night.
Well, Cleveland won the game, but they did not cover.
Yes, I thought about that last night.
There were some tweets I was far looking on my timeline last night.
They won by 13, the spread was 14, so there you go right there. But now, LeBron, he had the missed dunk, he had some more missed shots, but what was intriguing to me is when they were starting to make that run, LeBron had a wide open look in the corner and he passed out of it. And I thought back to that last year in Cleveland, sure, and that first year in Miami, when he was in big spots like that and he didn't want no parts of the basketball.
Yep.
I haven't seen him look like that in a while.
You know, not that I have an issue with LeBron deferring to Kyrie, because Kyrie's freaking amazing.
Yeah.
But you're right. We have not seen not alpha male LeBron James in quite a long time. And I know exactly the play that you were thinking about with LeBron, the first run in Cleveland.
Yeah.
And just giving it up. And he got absolutely
destroyed
for it. Wrecked. It was a different guy last night. He's going to find his rhythm again. I'm confident.
That's what I'm hoping.
I'm confident he will.
It's the rhythm thing.
Confident he will.
Yeah.
Moving on from the NBA Finals, I want to get into an NFL point. Anyways, we had a lot of fun with this Isaiah Crowell conversation yesterday. I want to get into the NFL point now as well. So I'm reading pretty consistently, Roto World, Roto Wire, whatever. Of course, I'll read it on Roto Experts June 14th when the package comes out.
Ding.
Kansas City. Last year, I was all about Spencer Ware. I drafted him everywhere because I ultimately believed he was going to get an opportunity and Jamal Charles would never be the same. Well, it turned out to be half right. Jamal Charles wasn't the same. Spencer Ware really flamed out after the first couple of weeks of the season. And I was frustrated because, like, I read the situation right. You know, that this is a team that wanted to run the football. Their main running back was hurt. They went with this guy who they talked up and talked up and talked up. And Spencer Ware, like I said, flamed out after about 4 weeks, give or take. Now, you know, I'm not trying to be exact. So this year, they go out and draft Kareem Hunt. And he is a third-round pick. Is the highest drafted running back of the Andy Reid Kansas City era. And now all you are reading here in May, given it's May, all you are reading is that how impressive this guy has been. Beat reporters saying, listen, he's going to lead the team in carries, he'll lead the team in yards, he'll lead the team in receiving yards for running back. Another beat reporter comes out, this guy's going to start from day one. We talk a lot about loyalty from coaches and general managers that draft you. Spencer Ware was picked by this team, but of course not nearly as high as Kareem Hunt is. I liken this back to last year and Kenneth Dixon in Baltimore. because everybody, Kenneth Dixon picked in the middle rounds. Everybody, our own Jake Seeley, the most accurate ranker in the business, was all over Kenneth Dixon saying he's the most talented guy in this backfield. He is the one you want to own. Whether it's now or later, I'm telling you it's him. Jordan Howard, another fine example. Is Kareem Hunt next, Corey?
Outside of the big Fournette and McCaffrey, I think I got Joe Williams ring higher than him, but I love Kareem Hunt. I got Spencer Ware, 33. I got Kareem Hunt, 34. I do think he gets the job, and what you like about it is, you know what Andy Reid's been doing this since he first started coaching. We've seen it with Brian Westbrook. We've seen it with LeSean McCoy. We've seen it with Jamal Charles. We were seeing it last year with Spencer Ware. Andy Reid runs offense through the running back position. Kareem Hunt's going to have an excellent opportunity this year to come in and get that work from day one and be a contributor in fantasy. Andy Reid's running back. They catch the football. They run the football. He's going in the spot in drafts where you should be able to get him. Now, as the hype train gets rolling, he's going to start to rise up the draft board. But Kareem Hunt is one of the young running backs that I'm going to be on in 2017, mainly because the opportunity he's going to have.
Well, what's interesting to me is you ranked him, what, 34, you said?
I got him 34. We're 33.
So you have them back-to-back in the 30s, and you are having them as mid-tier RB3s at this point is where you have them.
Yeah.
And I find that interesting because, like you just said, Corey, Andy Reid's been doing this for a very long time, and he has been what he is what he is at this point of his career.
Yeah.
And, Scotty, we all know, of course, that Andy Reid had a lot of success with Brian Westbrook initially, or Deuce Staley initially, eventually Brian Westbrook, then later LeSean McCoy, Jamal Charles, Spencer Ware a couple of years ago, and that was why I was all over Spencer Ware. So I want to get this situation right. I told Corey a couple of weeks back, like, I'm still kind of in on the Spencer Ware thing. He goes, that's not possible. I'm like, listen, I still want this running back from Kansas City. I still believe there's value. I want to get it right. Where should I be going?
I don't think it's with Spencer Ware. Now, this situation is one where the veteran is still there in case the rookie does not blossom immediately. Because, you know, you're not talking about an Ezekiel Elliott type where, and I talked about this with Tony this morning, Sakon and Engel. You know, when you look at these running backs, that come in, like, I got burned by this by talking up Monty Ball a few years ago. When these guys are not proven, the word is opportunity that we have to focus on. And nobody could blame you for what you did for Spencer Ware. A lot of people did it. But it also proved that opportunity does not always lead to the optimum production that you want. I don't think Spencer Ware can give you that. He's already proven that. The guy is a former fullback, sixth-round pick, and he turned out to be just exactly what he was scouted to be last year. Just not somebody you can depend on a running back. He's still there just in case Kareem Hunt isn't ready to be that full-time guy. And the situation scares me a little bit because as talented as Hunt is and more talented than Ware, I don't know if he can immediately step in and do the job. I think with some of these lesser rookie running backs that are not a Fournette, not a McCaffrey, you have to be careful because it's boom or bust. Kareem Hunt could bust out and be this guy in that type of offense, but there's also a risk factor attached. I think if you want to try to get it right, you take a chance on Hunt. But, I'm not sold that, that he can do it maybe right away just because he's in the right situation. There's a lot to be learned at the pro level even for a running back.
Matt, Scotty and Corey both kind of seem convinced ultimately if I had to choose a guy here, it's probably going to be Hunt. He's going to be the one that has the opportunity to break out. Yeah, I believe Ware is one spot higher in Corey's rankings for the record. But nevertheless, with that being said, the value that you're going to get on Spencer Ware here, it's going to be interesting for me.
Well, draft weekend, we had our own draft here in studio that Saturday.
That's right.
And I took Kareem Hunt, and I took him pretty early. Okay. I took him as my number two running back. It was either the end of the sixth, beginning of the seventh. I totally believe in Kareem Hunt being that guy. He was supremely elusive. Everything, if you watch any of his tape, if you read up on him, this is the guy to me. This is the guy I want to be in on, and I will be in on.
Okay, so there you go. That's Kareem Hunt. I compared Kareem Hunt to Kenneth Dixon from last year. I want to dive into Kenneth Dixon this year and the Baltimore Ravens running back situation from where we stand today. Roto Experts in the Morning, we'll dive into that when we return here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Jesse Chavez, and you're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
We're back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. And Corey, you were just showing me the Kareem Hunt's Pro Football Focus page?
Yeah, Kareem Hunt's Pro Football Focus Scouting Report, PFF Scouting Report.
So PFF gives you a whole list of attributes, good and bad, and then they make a player comparison. Is that correct?
Yes, they make a player comparison for the player, and you nailed it.
The player comparison on Pro Football Focus? Kenneth Dixon. So how about that? Kenneth Dixon suspended the first four games of the year, and everyone kind of relates, or at least I do, Baltimore and Kansas City given the situations. But there's one major difference, right? Baltimore did go out and sign a guy, and that's Danny Woodhead. Corey, where's Danny Woodhead in your running back ranks at the moment?
You know what? I hate to do this, but you got to be honest with you. Listen, do not get – people tend to fall in love with Danny Woodhead. He's going to play 6-7 games. That's it. He's not going to give you 16 games. That's not where he's at. But those first 4 weeks when he's out there and he's healthy and he's catching them checkdowns from Joe Flacco, you want a piece of that because it's a good chance he's going to be an RB1, definitely at least an RB2. Right now I got him at 24. He would be higher if he was in a situation where he would be able to stay healthy. He starts it off. He gets it rolling. Joe Flacco does not trust his offensive line. He may not trust the knee. He didn't trust the knee last year, but listen, that offense is checked down. Joe Flacco, there's no speed on the outside. Mike Wallace getting older. We don't, Breshad Perriman, forget about it. So he throws the ball to the tight ends in the middle of the field, and he dumps the football off to the running backs. That's why Danny Woodhead is here. He's going to catch the football until he gets hurt.
RB1 when he's healthy?
When he's healthy and he's out there. He's going to catch 5-6 balls a game.
The one thing we always got to remember with Woodhead, too, though, is like, a lot of times he's been pushed into ball carrying roles. They don't want him ideally doing that. So he's going to compliment a West or a Dixon or something like that when he's healthy.
I really like Danny Woodhead. I mean, Corey makes the point. He needs to stay healthy, but I mean, when he does put in a full season, the numbers are there, and he's a guy that isn't just a pass catcher. He finds the end zone. He's a player that has the nose for the end zone. I think this is a perfect fit for him. I mean, look at the targets that Dennis Pitter got last season. I think this...
He was like 6 for 30 every game.
I don't think ideally, though, like you're right, like if they give him the ball for the end zone, he'll find it. But I think the Chargers were forced into that situation a lot. I think... Ideally, a team doesn't want Danny Woodhead to be their goal line back.
No, I'm not saying he's a goal line back, but inside the 20, he gets those little dump passes, and he finds the end zone. He makes it into the end zone, inside the 10. He's done it repeatedly. The problem is, like Corey said, he's got to stay on the field. In a PPR format, I love this guy. I'm still the person that loves to stack my wide receivers. Mm-hmm. If I have a top three pick, that's different. But I do love to stack the wide receivers. Guys like Woodhead. I like a guy like a Joe Mixon. I want to be in on Kareem Hunt. I'll try and get a abundance of those kind of guys after getting, like, say, my 3 or 4 wide receivers. I mean, I don't know. That's what I've kind of – maybe I've learned this from watching some of the guys in the NFFC, some of the Hall of Famers that I respect, and I see how well they do every season. And like I said, in PPR, running backs that catch the ball are gold.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, we were talking about it. We got a mock draft for the for the exclusive edge package coming up. And, you know, Tony and I were talking about this morning. He has the 9th pick. And he says, well, I'd be thinking Jordan Howard. But then, to me, it's like going back to the thing I was talking about, Monty Ball. Jordan Howard, yeah, looked good last year. But, you know, some guys, you know, you look at even facts like Thomas Rawls, et cetera, you know, when they've done it for half a season and then they come back the next year and they're asked to be the guy from the outset, it doesn't always work out. You know, so if you don't have a chance to get one of those big running backs that Corey talks about, are you really comfortable with anchoring around Jordan Howard when you get an elite wide receiver? I'm with Matt. I'd rather do it and get the wide receiver and wait if I'm not within those top 4 picks or 5 where I can get a top running back, because I'm not, as much as I like Jordan Howard, that's the kind of guy who's not proven enough yet where I don't know if I want to make him my first round pick.
I feel what you're saying. I feel what all y'all saying, but I would be careful because these PPR running backs, these Kenneth Dixons, these Danny Woodheads, these Duke Johnsons, these dudes are not consistent. They do not put up consistent numbers. I think you got to come out that first 2 rounds.
You just said Woodhead is a number one running back when he's healthy.
Until he gets hurt.
He is consistent, you're saying.
Yeah, until
right?
he gets hurt. He's going to get hurt.
There's guys like Theo Riddick that never get the respect.
I agree with Riddick.
Like last season, anytime that guy played, he was putting up points for me. I mean, he doesn't. I understand what you mean. My point is, if I have a receiver and a running back early that's neck and neck, I'm going to take the wide receiver. I know some people can say, wide receiver is so deep. I want guys that are proven. I want guys that are durable. And then maybe in that third round, it allows me, or the third or fourth round, I can take that upshot swing on a wide receiver, say a Sammy Watkins in the third, or Martavis Bryant in the fourth, because I have my core there. I mean, I don't know. I mean, the running backs, too. You're looking at a position where it's more injury prone.
You always talk about it like after the top four or five, there's so many question marks. Like Matt says, why not take the sure thing? It's about, especially in fantasy sports and fantasy football, peace of mind is very hard to come by.
You're not going to have wide receiver peace of mind with Giovanni Bernard, though.
But I'm not waiting that long.
Okay.
I'm not waiting until round six to take my number one running back. That's going to an extreme. I never said that.
Okay, no, I'm just
it's like he gives good examples, like, you know, maybe wait on a Mixon or somebody like that. You know, I'd rather.
But
I agree with him that when it comes to the wide receiver and the running back, if I'm not winning that top three, I'm going to go the wide receiver most times within those first 2 rounds.
But to go back to Greg's point, when you look further down the board, a guy that you can wait on, I don't know if he appeals to suspension and get it reduced to 4-game suspension, but Kenneth Dixon, a little bit later on, eventually, once Danny Woodhead gets hurt, Terrence West is a one-down player, Kenneth Dixon will come in and be the lead dog for running and catching the football in Baltimore, and you can get him late because he's suspended.
Well, I think Kenneth Dixon and Danny Woodhead can both survive in that offense.
That's true.
I really do believe that. Yeah. And it's like last season we were told, The big three. They were the three wide receivers. We were fed that, and now this season we're being fed the big three, the Holy Trinity, as we like to say, with the running backs. So, I mean, just, you know, have your game plan. However you want to set it up, that's fine.
There's many different ways to skin the fantasy cat.
Yeah, exactly. You look at fantasy baseball, how you want to attack your pitching and hitting and stuff like that.
Yep.
With this, the running backs, as long as you have a game plan, I mean, if I can get a Joe Mixon in the third round, I mean, Hill is terrible.
Yeah, okay? Yeah, he's done.
Giovanni Bernard is like, he had a setback already. I believe I saw that.
He's going to be banged up. Mixon's got that thing locked
Mixon
up.
Mixon was a first-round talent. Mm. And, you know, they got a lot of weapons in Cincinnati. So if I had if I lucked out with him.
We're being sold the top three, Matty. And but would you give any thought to taking, like, a wide receiver instead in the top three?
Look, David Johnson and Le'Veon Bell. And even Zeke. I think Zeke's going to get better. I think Zeke's going to catch more passes. In my draft last night, Antonio Brown went third.
Oh, so a running back did fall.
That's why I was saying this. Yeah. In the leagues that I play in, the wide receivers are still paramount. But like you said, what David Johnson did last season and Le'Veon Bell did in 12 games, that cannot be discounted. Those are two guys that are going to put up like 2,000 yards or more this season if they stay healthy and play 16 games. So I'm definitely taking those guys. It's tough for me not to take Zeke, but I understand the argument with taking in Antonio Brown there. I think that I even said it that day when we did the draft. I had the third pick. I took Zeke, and the hardest thing was, I love Antonio Brown, but I mean, the wide receivers to me, I mean, I don't think that Odell Beckham has had his best season yet.
I agree.
Julio Jones, to me, is probably my favorite wide receiver, but that foot is just scares the crap out of me. And I know everybody, from what I'm seeing, consensus ranks, and a lot of people I respect, everybody seems to have A.J. Green ahead of Mike Evans. I'm taking Mike Evans every time over A.J. Green.
I think because a lot of people like so used to Green doing that in the high level.
Okay, but why doesn't
I'm not saying I agree with it.
Why doesn't A.J. Green take a hit for playing 10? His last three seasons, he's played 10, 16, and 12 games.
That's a good point. It's just,
but nobody ever says
I think what people just look at the fact is like, they still consider him the only guy there. Alshon Jeffries in Tampa Bay.
I just want to be clear.
Yeah.
I love A.J. Green. If I had the eighth pick.
Alshon Jeffries in Philly.
And A.J. Green
I'm
falls
sorry,
to
Deshaun
me.
Jackson.
I'm very confused.
But I'm saying if A.J. Green, if I had the eighth pick and I ended up with A.J. Green, I'm very happy. I just want to, you know, put that out there.
They feel like there's more weaponry around him in Tampa Bay.
Greg, what do you think about attacking running backs? How do you, I mean, I know it's early, but, you know, getting the feel, hearing us talk and stuff like that.
Yep.
How do you think? You know, we got the big three at the top. Then I think we got the back end of the first with Freeman, Gordon, and Shady. And in the middle is the wide receivers. You think it's where you draft that? It's going to be how you...
Yeah, for me, ultimately, it is going to be where I draft that. Like, I completely understand what Matt's saying. Like, listen, to be able to build around the wide receivers, that's where you've seen people have a lot of success. That's where you're aiming to do it. I traditionally have always done the, I'm going to just draft a steady running back, one of my first two picks, and then I'll figure it out from there. And it's just like a nice start to have. Of course, when such reliable running back gets hurt, then you're screwed. Like, to me, it's always nice to just walk away with a running back and a wide receiver. Is it imperative? No, obviously not. I think the answer to that question, Corey, truly is just where you draft and is the best talent available, right? Like, for me, if I'm sitting there with that first overall pick, like, it's going to be very, very hard for me not to take Le'Veon Bell, David Johnson, or Ezekiel Elliott. Like, I think it's very hard for me to do it. And I truly believe I have four of the first three picks. I'm going to take one of those three guys because I've seen them be truly dynamic. And then you get into the next few picks where, all right, Odell Beckham goes, Antonio Brown goes, and then you have Mike Evans, A.J. Green, and T.Y. Hilton, and Mike Evans. And there's a lot of question marks there, a lot of wide receivers in there. But when you get to the bottom, then it's anybody's guess. Wide receiver, running back, I don't think it matters. We'll take a break. We'll come back, and we'll continue this talk, this conversation. Everyone has more thoughts on it. Stick around. More Roto Experts in the Morning continue after this. Here on the Roto Experts in the Morning Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and we're having a good football discussion, and of course, Kareem Hunt seems like everybody is kind of in on, and it's a nice guy to, I don't want to say rely on, but it's a nice flyer to take, potentially as an RB2. Corey has him ranked as a mid-level RB3. Now, of course, it's May, and it is certainly subject to change as we get deeper into summer and we read more. The same goes for Kenneth Dixon in Baltimore, and as well as Danny Woodhead, as long as he remains healthy. The conversation has slightly turned here to the first round, where we know the first three, and Scott, you have one point about Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, now, we always say big three, and you and I were making the point about Antonio Brown, right, Matt? Ezekiel Elliott, durable, plays in a great offense, plays above offensive line. We haven't seen anything durability-wise about David Johnson, and the versatility is incredible, and so is the big play ability. He can score from anywhere on the field. Are we sure? It's just something I want to throw out here. Are we sure that we should, in the PPR, be taking Antonio Brown over Le'Veon Bell at number three, like he says, because Le'Veon Bell has had off-the-field issues, suspensions, and he's gotten hurt? Antonio Brown is a safer pick, maybe at a high level.
What Le'Veon Bell did in those 12 games was like... It was incredible. I forget the numbers and all that stuff, like the exact... There was something I had, but top of my mind slipping me. What he was able to produce in those 12 games...
It's crazy.
Was insane. And that's why I can see... Look, if you have the number one pick and you want to be a little conservative, and like you want to maybe take the risk out a little, and you take David Johnson, I understand that. I mean, I had David Johnson, and even when I drafted Sammy Watkins in the second round, I was still able to win. So that's how good he was. And you do make a really good point about, you know, that worries me. The marijuana, this guy can't stop smoking weed. So that is
an
issue.
He doesn't get hurt otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, he's gotten hurt, but he's come back even better.
He has, but it always seems like... Well, I don't disagree with you.
But how about this?
I think when he's on the field, he's the best running back in fantasy.
But what I'm saying, the stat last Friday on is Mike Florio lying? At every game but one, he had at least 20 touches. And if I know Le'Veon Bell's getting 20 touches a game, that's a good thing.
I don't disagree with that. See, when he's on the field, he's the best running back in fantasy football period. But the problem is he's not on the field consistently.
I understand that, but for me, it's just he's that good. You know,
he has two problems. Vonta Perfect took him out twice, mm-hmm. and then right. the marijuana. Other than that, he's rock solid. So as long as he can avoid those two things, he's good to go. To answer your question, Scott,
but wait a minute, Vonta Perfect took him out twice. Guys are going to get injured.
No, but Perfect is a headhunter.
Yes,
Perfect is looking for Le'Veon Bell's knees. Nobody else in the league is doing it. They'll tackle him and it's over. Perfect is like, I want to hit him in his knees, because I want him out for the rest of the season. That's how Perfect played the game. We know that already, right? You agree with that, right?
Yeah.
So that and the marijuana is his only issues. Now, with Antonio Brown, baseball, position scarcity. That's why those running backs go first.
And yeah.
I think you can get, like last season, I don't think Antonio Brown led the league in targets. Mike Evans led the league in targets. So the receivers are going to get the football, but you can't pass up on these three running backs because it's not guys like Ezekiel Elliott in the second round of fantasy
draft. Has Bell been injured more than twice in his career?
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely been banged up. There's been two major injuries.
He's been banged up.
It hasn't
all been Perfect inflicted. No, that's what I'm saying.
The two knee injuries were both Perfect,
of course,
right?
He's gotten banged up otherwise.
He was banged up in the playoffs this past year, right? So, again, there are injury concerns with Le'Veon Bell and marijuana concerns. I agree with that, Scott. But to Corey Matt's point, like, ultimately, if you're getting 20 touches a game from this guy, where in the second, if you draft Le'Veon Bell first to third overall, there's a chance the wide receiver you draft in the second round may be this stud number one wide receiver when it's all said and done. At least in my opinion.
I got to be honest with you, though. To me, having a top three pick and knowing that maybe that guy might miss some time, you know, it scares the crap out of me.
You say that about anybody, though. It's football. David Johnson, we thought he destroyed his knee in week 17 last year, right?
Yeah.
And it looks like he's fine. So, you know, there is a possibility.
We've only seen Elliott play 1 year. We don't know that he hasn't gotten hurt yet. So
yeah, of course.
That's fair.
Absolutely.
I mean, Le'Veon Bell, to me, if for like fantasy baseball purposes, would be like Clayton Kershaw. Even though he missed like 2 months last season,
he was still
almost Clayton the best. Kershaw. I mean, Mike Scherzer inched him out. And this season, I was still taking in a couple of drafts Clayton Kershaw number one.
Who's Mike Trout then?
Well, I was using the injury there. You could say David Johnson last season was Mike Trout.
The fact is, Clayton Kershaw, by the way, pitched unbelievably last night. Oh, we was going over the cleat game shutout, of course. It was crazy. He lost a single. Ground down guy gets the second. Wild pitch guy comes all the way around the second to score. Kershaw then gets out of the inning with ease. And Dodgers take the 13th to win. And then Yasiel Puig and Jock Peterson run into each other. And it was hilarious. But back to football here just for a second. You have, like I said, I think you have the top three.
The Holy Trinity.
You have the Holy Trinity. And then after that, I truly believe it's opinion-based. From this glut of wide receivers, from Antonio Brown to Odell Beckham to Mike Evans. I know you have T.Y. Hilton in there, Corey, A.J. Greeney. I mean, like, those five guys, I think, are the next five. I mean, you could totally correct me if I'm wrong, but I think those guys are the next five. And then you get these running backs at the end of the draft for the last four or so picks. And, again, it's totally up to opinion there, I believe, Corey.
Yeah, I think it's opinion. I get it, but I'm not letting once those big wide receivers go, I'm not letting Melvin Gordon sit out there.
Okay.
I'm not letting Devonta Freeman sit out there. And I'm going to be the guy to go back in on Todd Gurley too. I'm going back on Todd Gurley. I think those young play callers out there with McVay and I think his name is LaFleur. I think they mm-hmm. go I think a change of scenario with what's that mustache guy? Jeff Fisher, getting him out the way, bringing some new blood, some new life in there. We've seen McVay work good with young quarterbacks. I'm not saying that he's going to turn Jared Goff around, but I do think that I think a fresh take on coaching can get Todd Gurley running again. Because Todd Gurley was a first-round draft pick last year. He's dropping in the second this year. I'm going to go back in on Gurley.
But you name those guys, Corey. You name those guys, right? You name those after those wide receivers. You go, I'm not letting Melvin Gordon go. I'm not letting Devonta Freeman go. And then you have Todd Gurley, and you spoke with Isaiah Crowell yesterday on the show, and LeSean McCoy's out there somewhere. But I think, to me, these guys, at the bottom of this round, they're in a mix, right? Like, you can make an argument that Jordy Nelson and Michael Thomas and Dez Bryant, that they should go there instead, right? Like, there is an argument to be made for that, and we're certainly going to have it over the next couple months as our rankings get more refined and we get more information. But I truly believe that after the first seven or so picks, it is absolutely up to your however you want to build this team. Like,
I'm not taking the risk of once those. I know you got the premier wide receivers. I don't put Jordy. I like Jordy. I don't put him in that. I go with like Dez and T.Y. But once those guys are gone, you want to leave guys like Melvin Gordon and Devonta Freeman on the board? Then your running back situation, you're gonna have Lamar Miller.
And you see what I'm saying?
And then you're gonna feel bad.
And then to your Todd Gurley points, there are already reports out of St. Louis that he's picking up this
Los Angeles,
that he's picking up, still can't do it, that he's picking up this offense better. Well, that's not that long ago, but and also, you're not going to have to take Gurley in the first round.
No, I don't think.
No. You know, and then to your point, though, about, you know, I don't know if I could pass, you know, on a Freeman type late in the round. I like Jordy a lot, though. You know, it's just like I feel like he's a very safe pick.
But here's my problem with what you were just saying, Corey, right? You just said if I pass on a Devontae Freeman, right, I wind up with Lamar Miller, right? Mm-hmm. And Devontae Freeman is going where, 9-10 in the first round? Is that about give or take, right?
Yeah.
All right, so if I take, let's say, Michael Thomas there, who, again, similar spot that they're going in, If I don't take Thomas and I take a Devontae Freeman, tell me who my number one wide receiver is.
Oh, you're in the second round when you come back. When you get your Amari Cooper is going to be a target monster. I don't have no problem.
Doug Baldwin, DeAndre Hopkins.
Doug.
This is my point.
But these are guys I want as my number two.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly my point.
I think Doug Baldwin is an excellent number two.
Perfect number two.
But
perfect.
After the big three, for me, it's Melvin Gordon. That's the fourth running back on my board. That's the guy that
Same
I want. I think you could make the case. I mean, I know a lot of people have LeSean McCoy fourth overall in that spot. For me, it's Gordon. But I still love Devonta Freeman. Nobody does it better inside the 20-yard line. This guy is going to be a free agent. I know there's Tevin Coleman there and there's the Tevin Coleman truthers. But I don't see anything changing inside that 20 with Devonta Freeman.
And it's interesting when you compare McCoy to Gordon, they both are touchdown monsters, but for me, Shady's more versatile. He can catch passes, but you always worry about Shady's durability.
Yeah, but Shady, prior to last season, had like 27 touchdowns the previous 4 years and then scored 14 last year. So I think that's going to come down. I think Jonathan Williams is a guy that's going to move right into that Mike Gillisley role. I think he's going to be a guy that's going to be pounding the rock in on the 1 or the 2 yard line when they get really close to. So, and Shady's another guy that plays usually like 14 games.
Yeah, the problem with Gordon is though he doesn't catch enough passes.
Yeah, but he's got Anthony Lynn there this season, and I think that's a tremendous thing for him. That's something you have to look at.
Greg, you don't trust Cooks, Cooper, Baldwin, Hopkins?
Not the number one guy, I know. And now he's the number one wide receiver. I have no problem with any of those guys as number two.
Uh-huh.
I don't trust any of them as number one.
Cooper's got to show the consistency.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm sorry, Maddie. I much prefer Michael Crabtree three rounds later to Amari Cooper, where I have to draft him right now.
Okay, I feel what you're saying, but if you leave those running backs out there, the wide receivers are going to be better than the running backs as you go down the draft board.
But Corey, going back to yesterday, say you took the two wide receivers, 1-2, with the first two rounds.
Okay.
And you could get Isaiah Crowell, who you're very high on, in the third round. Is that something you'd be adverse to starting with?
Listen, there's many ways to skin the cat. So if I was to come out and I was to start, say I was to go with Dez Bryant and Michael Thomas, something like that, or Dez Bryant and Amari Cooper, and then go Crowell in the third, I can get with that. But I want one of those top five running backs. I want one in the Holy Trinity, or I want Melvin Gordon and Devonta Freeman.
Yeah.
I'm not leaving those guys on the board.
And in
period.
In the second, I couldn't go with Jai. I'd have to take the wide receiver.
It depends where you are, like I said. We'll talk more football tomorrow on the program, but when we come back, it's time to go at the park with Scott Angle. Roto Experts at the Park is next here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. We go out at the park each day, 8:55 a.m. Eastern Time, and Scott the King Angle has gotten the opportunity to head out to the ballpark each of the last couple days, and he's gotten some good interviews. And today, one that I know Corey and I have been looking forward to, and that is Matty Shoemaker.
Matt Shoemaker.
Yeah, Matt Shoemaker with a terrific start last night, Greg. in a win over Tampa Bay, 6 1/3 shutout innings, 3 walks, 5 strikeouts. And I spoke to Matt a few days ago about the fact that he's using his slider more. And
I think it just
The fact that he's mixing his pitches more and what's been effective for him this year. And here it is.
I think it just kind of changes game to game, to be honest. I think, you know, as a pitcher in this game, and you just got to try to mix up everything. So I think, you know, what I try to do is mix up fastballs off speed and mix it all up together and just pitch all over the zone.
And last year, too, it seemed like a little different for you. Like after you got a little bumpy start, though, you started working in a split change more, and it really worked for you.
Sure, yeah. Like I said, we just got to throw off hitters' timing. And that's what I said. This is kind of what we just talked about, was mixing that up, mixing up different off-speed pitches, mixing it up with the fastball as well, just to throw hitters off, get their timing off.
So, Greg, last year what he did was Matt Shoemaker got off to a very bumpy start last year, so he started mixing in a split change, and the results turned. But this year, in order to keep hitters off balance, we talk about baseball as a constant game of adjustments. He's trying to stay ahead of the hitters. I like that. He's actually started to use the slider more. He's actually started to use the slider more this year. It's gone up from 13% to 20%, and he's actually scaled back a little, about 6% on the splitter.
Scott, did you ask him how it was to get hit in the face?
Yes, I did.
I'm very excited to hear that response.
It's available on demand.
Roto Expert on demand. Audio Boom, wherever you listen to your podcast, you can get that interview. Matt Shoemaker, very, very interested to hear
about that. Yes, he said, you know, of course it was difficult, but with the great support system that he had, he feels like he's now good back
That's awesome.
A very stable mental place.
That's
awesome.
I did
ask him about that. Yes.
That's fantastic, because I know, Corey, we talked a lot about that.
Yeah, scary. How
to come back from that and to be in a good mental place and be not be afraid to pitch anymore. It's big. I mean, that's
scary. It's tough. Oh, yeah, no doubt. The mind definitely takes a course in the athlete's, performance.
I think the one thing holding him back right now is the walks. If he can get back to what he had last season, he can really be a much better pitcher. Last night, as Scott says, he was really good. The one hit that they got should have probably been an error up until that seventh inning. And, you know, very good.
You can't have the walks continue to bite him, because right now the ERA is 3.97. The FIP is 4.76. Not too much different from your ex-FIP, Matt, 4.71.
Yep.
Like you said, he was just absolutely brilliant last night. Alex Cobb actually pitched really well, too, until the eighth inning. He let up a couple of runs in the eighth. But Alex Cobb actually pitched deep into the game, and he was working it, and I was impressed with Alex Cobb last night.
Well, didn't the game start off with back-to-back homers from Maben and Trout?
It did. And then he settled down in a major way, and he was basically flawless until that eighth inning.
And here's something else in the interview, too, when you talk about his mental state. This is a guy that went undrafted in 2008. You'll hear on demand with him. That was a big motivator for him too. So he's faced adversity before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, that's a good example, Scott. I like that. Scott, not to change the subject. When you sign into the mock draft, you have the number one pick.
Yeah.
Would you and this is a standard.
Standard.
Would you consider Ezekiel Elliott at one?
Yes, I am. I'm considering. We're looking at many options. We're exploring everything. We're open to a lot of things.
Thanks for that.
I could have went so many ways with that.
Cameron Maben, by the way, is as hot as any player in baseball. Another home run yesterday. His third of the year. Let it all blow off the game. Mike Trout is 15th homer of the year. Now tied.
He's Aaron a beast.
Cameron Maben is ripping it up since he's been put in the leadoff spot. He was hitting .584 in the last six games coming in the last night.
Like I said, one of the hottest hitters in baseball. Kevin Kiermaier is not. When we return, it's time to choose your own adventure. Stick around. The Roto Experts in the Morning begin hour number two. When we come back, so we're back for more on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
Hour number two underway here at the Fantasy Sports Network. Corey, Scott, Matt Bodica.
The king is wild.
What makes it so great is Greg's facial. That does it for me.
Just my ignorance.
Yeah, just like your double standard.
Oh, here we go.
This was pointed out to me by others.
Oh, I know where he's going with this.
You have no problem with Frank Stanfill acting up in the afternoon, but with me, you have to look down your nose at me.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Yeah, he said look down your nose. That sounded personal.
I think he called you a snooty bastard.
It seemed like that. I believe it's a different show.
No, I believe it's a different attitude towards a different person. I believe it's a double standard.
I don't
Y'all have to work,
like
to
if Frank dances,
out.
You start singing. Well, you start moving your hands all funny ways. But if I do it, you give me a look.
Yeah. If you haven't watched the BFFs on YouTube and seen the Sussman hands, you got to check it out this afternoon. It's excellent. Subscribe to the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube channel. It's all type of great stuff going down over there, including the BFFs at 1 p.m. Eastern time, and you get the Sussman hands. There you go.
You know,
must see TV.
I will be completely honest with you. You're one of my favorite people most of the time, and I absolutely love you. But you are a double standard hater otherwise when it comes to me and just having fun on this show.
This is getting deep right here. Are you saying that you've been told to run this show differently?
I'm just going to move on.
How about Joe Ross?
Let's get into Joe Ross.
But why would I have fun? It's like you ignore me and move on. But when Frank does it, you like join in.
It's a different show, Scotty.
No, it's a different standard.
No, it's a different show.
It's a different standard.
I don't know how else to say it.
Scott, don't take it personal. I believe Greg when he says it's a different show.
Thank you.
All right, you're helping your friend out because he usually does it to you. Yeah. I'll give you a hint here in this game because you're my friend.
He is my friend.
Yeah, well, we're all supposed to be your friends.
You do it personally. You have Corey hints now?
Yeah, well, you know, we play games and like, Matt, you don't do it for me or Matt. You go, well, because you're my friend, I'll give you a hint here.
I don't remember this hint.
That happened yesterday.
We were guessing.
Okay.
He gives you a hint.
We were down to the last person, Scott.
Not that you needed.
Person.
You were doing fine.
I don't need
no hints.
Oh, God. Odell Beckham Jr., by the way, got
and
paid
he
yesterday.
Is. He's stuck up and he moves on. He ignores it. Yeah.
He got paid by.
What do you want me to do? You want me to just sit here and fight with you for an hour?
I want you to, you know, up to it. You know, I want you to admit to it.
I think he wants you to mention me on live TV.
I'm gonna just host the radio show. And that's going to be about Odell Beckham getting paid by Nike yesterday. He now makes more money from Nike.
I'm going to ignore this, y'all.
He makes more money from Nike than he makes from the New York Giants. The highest football sneaker contract for a football player ever. And Odell's the guy to get it. You know, we saw the kids sitting in here. They had on Beckham jerseys. You feel what
Everyone's
I'm saying?
Everyone's got the Odell hair also. That's why I say it all the time. Playing New York matters still. It really does. And Rashad Jennings, by the way, another Giant.
How about that? He wins Dancing with the Stars.
How about that? We choose our own adventure when we return. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning, the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The Morning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We're an hour and 9 minutes into the program, and we haven't even thought about baseball yet. A little change for you, a little football madness as we head toward June 14th with the Roto Experts exclusive edge package. Because available premium package, I know they're doing a draft for it right now. Scotty's on the clock with the first pick. You'll be able to check that out inside the exclusive edge Roto Experts fantasy football package available June 14th. Where we left off, we mentioned Odell Beckham Jr. was paid by Nike, and he makes more money than any other football player ever sponsored by Nike for shoes. Now, I made the point, Sky, a second ago, that being in New York still matters. We saw it with Odell Beckham. I think we see it with Aaron Judge as well.
And I think now we're seeing it with Michael Conforto. And Tony yesterday on the radio said, you know, was getting on, like, he said, Met fans are making, like, Michael Conforto's, like, this great thing. And Conforto last night, 2 more home runs. He's got 13, and he leads the major leagues right now in leadoff homers. Yeah, Conforto, he was saying Conforto was getting kind of blown up because he played in New York, but
he's local.
Conforto's delivering.
He's local.
I'd rather Conforto than Judge rest of the season.
You know, here's a stat somebody threw out last night.
Look at their stats right now. They're even. Look at their stats right now.
Conforto has more RBIs than Judge, and Conforto's hitting from the leadoff spot when Judge is down in the lineup. I'm not trying to put Judge down at all. What I'm saying is, you know, the Mets have not had a good season over in Queens, but Conforto is really, really playing well right now. He's drawing comparisons to, like, Don Mattingly.
But Scott, he's local, though.
We're talking about players in New York.
Yeah, but Odell is a national star.
No, we're talking
Conforto
about
is local.
We're talking about New York matters, right?
Yeah, but
that's why everybody's talking up Judge, and this is why people are starting
Judge
to talk
is a
up
Yankee. It's different.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
You're being
different. Being a Yankee is different than being a Met.
To you, because you're biased.
No.
When you go,
I am,
abroad,
but I'm not.
I saw your face when I started this. You cannot take the fact that a Met's playing well.
Right. A Met is playing well. Conforto's playing absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, I love the kid.
And the numbers with Aaron Judge are very comparable. However, to Corey's point, it matters. You see Corey's hat. Like, that hat is
a symbol of success.
Forget the symbol of success. I mean, I'm being totally honest.
Yeah, let's
here.
Listen to you. You're objective here.
When you go abroad, when you go to Hawaii where Matt lived, when you go anywhere, you're seeing that hat.
Yeah, everybody comes to New York and
they buy a Yankee hat, right? Like, yeah. And to that point, like, it is different when you're a Yankee compared to when you're a Met. That's not putting the Mets down.
Well, the point that I was making is that people were starting to blow up Conforto, you know, like, because he is a Met, you know, he's like a New York Met, whatever, and like. If Conforto was playing on the Marlins, I don't know if you'd hear this.
If he was playing on the Yankees, he'd have a higher profile than he would.
That's a fact.
Probably,
well,
yes.
I agree. The Yankees will always have the higher profile. Also, the thing with Aaron Judge is the way the guy hits the ball. I mean, he's like he is Mr. Statcast right now. So that is the other thing.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at both of these guys, their BABIPs are both high. The BABIP, you know, the averages are going to come down from where they currently are. It's not sustainable. I don't see both of them hitting, you know, 370, 380 BABIPs for the season. But I do think, as a complete discipline, I'd give it to Conforto.
Sure.
Maybe Judge hits more home runs, but rest of the season, I think it's very close, but I'd rather Conforto.
And here's the difference between two of these guys. It's like, well, before I get to that, Conforto's starting to hit lefties this year. He had another home run off the lefty last night. That's something he didn't do last year, but maybe he wasn't healthy last year either. The thing with Judge is, in terms of weight and height, the biggest player to ever play the game. And to your point, I think, you know, they're going to be able to expose certain things when in the strike zone, where I think Conforto is more of a pure hitter. I think Judge will hit for more power. But, you know, you get into these Met-Yankee comparisons. It's not even what I'm really discussing. It's like, you know, the Mets have had a bad season, and Tony was saying, like, you Met fans, like, you're talking Conforto up way too much. And he said this morning, he goes, I woke up and said, you know, this is real. You know, because he became the first player in Met history last night to homer in his first at bat in the inning and get an RBI later in that inning.
Conforto with two homers last night. He's 12th and 13th of the year. Everyone's saying Conforto has just had an unbelievable year and a season that has not been good for Mets despite winning yesterday 9-3. Conforto, finally a bright spot with it. They just put him every day. They just left him there.
You know what Howie Rose said about Conforto last night?
I don't.
He said he is at the plate now what Matt Harvey used to be on the mound.
Oh, that's interesting.
Well, just to make the point here, like, you guys argue this Mets and Yankee crap all the damn time. Like, this is a great argument. Conforto and Judge.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's what you guys
that goes back to, like, Hernandez versus Mattingly.
Yeah, that's great baseball talk. And
absolutely.
You know, argue numbers
absolutely.
To this guy, that guy.
No doubt. I'm giving Scotty a hard time, but the truth of the matter is, the home run hitter that plays for the Yankees is going to have the higher profile.
The Yankees, no doubt, they are.
The Yankees have
much
a better record right now.
Let me ask you this, and I kind of move on from the argument and talk about Matt Harvey. Last week, everybody pitched 5 1/3, three runs. Everyone's like, wow, nice start from Matt Harvey. Yesterday, he pitched 5 innings, allowed 2 runs. Are you feeling the same way as you felt last week?
Which was? What did I say?
That was a good start.
I said it was an adequate start.
You did not. You were more positive.
I said Keith Hernandez said it was like something to build off on. I felt it was adequate. You know, I didn't think it was a great start.
My question was, how do you feel about last night's start?
I felt like it was okay. I mean, I don't even know if I could say that because he did walk 4 guys.
Right.
And it took him like 103 pitches to get through 5 innings. Look, the offense made it easy for him because, you know, before you looked up, they had 7 runs in of support.
What do you think, Matt?
I I was really depressed, actually.
Oh, boy.
I had that on the big screen. I had the Joe Ross game on the iPad. And I had the volume up on the Joe Ross game. That was just really important for me last night. But watching Harvey, it was really depressing. They were hitting lasers off him too. And what it is, he's just I don't know. I mean, maybe it's still the injury. Maybe I got to give him that. But they were up 7-0, and I was worried that he was going to give up that lead. And for him in a game when the Mets desperately needed the bullpen to get a night off. Could only go 5 innings.
I don't know what it is, but it's something that Corey talks about. This guy became a celebrity pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
Like you talk about a celebrity quarterback.
He did.
And somehow, I don't know how it's affected him.
He's probably still upset about Adrian Lima.
He needs to focus. He needs more. He's been through adversity, but he's not growing. Like he's missing the rib. You know what I'm saying? He's losing girlfriends. You know what I'm saying? This is supposed to be. He need to stop. He need to chill. He need to stop partying. He need to stop going out drinking in the city. He need to get serious about playing baseball. That's the bottom line. And until he does that, he's not a professional athlete. And I like the dude. I hope he does good. I'm just saying, you got to get it together.
That's the downfall of playing in New York. It is pretty damn tough. When you're that successful, you're that well known.
You got to be able to handle it. And maybe Michael Conforto will handle it in a phenomenal way because he's got a lot of success. The spotlight will only grow for him. And I hope he handles the success better than Conforto and honestly better than Syndergaard, too.
Picture if social media was around in the mid 80s with the Mets, like Dwight Gooden and Strawberry.
Doc was at the Palladium last night doing nose beers.
it just goes back to that point, though, that Matt Harvey said he wanted to be like Jeter. Why didn't he look him as an example of how to handle New York?
He said, I wanted to be like Jeter. How about you say, I want to be a champion? Do you want to be like Jeter because of Jeter's nightlife and his exploits off the diamond, or do you want to be like Jeter because
he's who he dated?
Because he's the champion,
right? Well, he kind of modeled Derek,
but also how to handle New York
on the field, and he was successful off the field. Yes. He was able to just keep it separate.
You know what was important that he did? Not getting married while he was playing.
Smart.
That was very smart.
Because he could do whatever he wanted and you could say anything.
Yeah. Well, bottom line is actions speak louder than words. You could say you want to be this, you want to do that, but actions do speak louder than words.
On the other side of things, with Aaron Judge and the Yanks, they fell last night 6-2. It was very frustrating because Jordan Montgomery pitched just so well. 6 2/3. Only run allowed came on a solo shot in the seventh inning from Lorenzo Cain. They only let him pitch one more batter. Adam Warren came in and immediately blew such lead, which is very, very frustrating. Yankees fall. Jorge Bonifacio now has 6 home runs on the year. I believe he's homering like 4 of his last 5 games.
Back-to-back games, yeah.
Bonifacio, 267, 326 OBP. Is Jorge Bonifacio someone we should know, Scott?
Yeah, I think Jorge Bonifacio is definitely somebody that should already be on teams, I think. He's made the most of an opportunity here. And Danny Duffy beat the Yankees for a second time in less than a week. And the interesting thing is the Yankees got 2 homers off of him, and I thought it was going to fall apart because coming into this game, Duffy had only allowed 2 home runs all season.
Wow.
Well, people were excited about Jorge Soler getting traded to Kansas City and getting that opportunity.
Yep.
Bonifacio is the guy you want to have.
He's right. I think he's
usurped that role. And
I agree. If you were a Jorge Soler believer, I totally agree. Jorge Bonifacio is definitely the guy you want to get involved with. Aaron Hicks homered again. Problem with Aaron Hicks is he doesn't play every day.
Yeah.
It's very, very frustrating. But when he does, he's been successful, of course, with 8 home runs now on the season. We're going to come back and I'm going to let the guys choose where they want to take the show. It's Choose Your Own Adventure time here on the Road to Records in the Morning.
Got to be jamming to this one.
The adventure has been chosen for us.
There you go. Hey, Scott.
The show's flying by here.
It is today.
And because of it's flying by, I didn't realize it's that time of the week. Ladies and gentlemen, 9:24 on a Wednesday means one thing. It's time for Dr. Ray. Good morning, Doc.
Dr. A.
Good morning, guys.
What's
How you
up,
guys
Doc?
Doing this morning?
We're doing very, very well. I'm actually very, very excited.
Everything's good.
I'm very excited because, Doc, yesterday it's the guy that I've been asking everybody about, and everybody yells at me every time I bring this guy up. And I bring him up more than anybody on any show ever, and that's Tyson Ross. And Tyson Ross
is a guy that I've owned all year. Why? I don't know. And I've told everybody, don't do this, don't do this. And I did it again for like the seventh consecutive year. Picked up a guy that's probably going to stink. However, in his first rehab start yesterday in AAA, not single A, AAA, he goes 5 scoreless innings. He throws 73 pitches. And now it looks like he's like 2 starts away from coming back. And I am excited. Should I be nearly as excited as I am about Tyson Ross, Dr. A?
To answer that question, yes.
Hey!
So it looks like his thoracic. So it looks like the algorithms are agreeing with you a little bit. The trend is good. You know, this thoracic outlet syndrome surgery, he usually when these guys come back from that, you should start to see some symptoms if it's not working. You know, early on, he's been sort of handled pretty well. He was at high injury risk and below average. He has now progressed to elevated and above average, and he's very close to getting back to low injury risk. So if he is scheduled to do this rehab assignment on Tuesday, and in another 2 weeks, his likely statistics on our side should be low injury risk and above average when he makes his start, which is in line with what you're saying.
That's awesome. That makes me feel very good. I'm feeling good, Corey. Tyson Ross finally coming back.
Hey, Doc, let me ask you a question. I got I will like sleep funny at night, whatever, and then I'll get like a crick in my neck and it will like hurt me for like a couple days, and I'd be like, this is horrible. I'm trying to massage it out and get it fixed and stuff like that. Dallas Keuchel has a pinched nerve in his neck. Is this a similar type of situation between with me and Dallas Keuchel?
Well, usually I do not think so. Unless you have information that he slept in with a crick in his neck.
No, I don't.
it caught. but I will tell you, the pinched nerve in the neck is caused usually by a spur or some sort of disc, a little bit of a disc bulge, and it's pretty common. Right now, we're listing it as a grade 1, so it's not due to a disc herniation or something severe like that. Again, muscle tightness also can pinch the nerve as well, so that's likely what it is. He is still listed as low and above average, so it didn't really change his metrics much. So he's still a healthy start. Velocity, fastball, velocity, breaking ball, everything looks okay. So our algorithm is saying that it's kind of a minor injury.
So it is similar to when I have a crick in my neck.
Yeah, but unless you start feeling pain down your arm, that's when you get the pinched nerve. A lot of times people have crick in their necks. It's just muscle spasm, right?
All right.
Corey Kluber is going to start a rehab assignment on Thursday, and it looks like he's getting very close to returning.
Yeah, and so, this grade 1, pitchers, back injuries are the algorithms take that very, very sensitively. Typically, it's a 4-week optimal recovery time for a grade 1 back for a starting pitcher. You know, look, his injury date was on May 2nd, he'll begin his rehab assignment on Thursday, so he's sort of right in line. Right now, where he stands is elevated and below average. He will creep up to above average predictive performance, so, he will be, pretty much, where he'll be. He'll still stay elevated, unfortunately, because of that back injury on starting pitchers in the same season, but he'll be back up to above average, close to peak health, and so, he looks like he's following the appropriate protocol, and he should be good to go when he does actually return.
Hey, Doc, a guy that I'm anxiously awaiting for his return is AJ Pollock. What's the news you got? Hopefully it's good.
You want me to lie to you, or you want me to tell you the truth?
Oh, that's not what I want to hear, Doc.
So this is, the algorithm, is very, very negative toward multiple injuries to the same body part. This is third groin injury, in a short period of time. He is running on an anti-gravity treadmill, and he's in the hitting cage now, light hitting. However, our algorithms are still saying that he's at high injury risk and below average. One positive, though, I will tell you, is that he did not drop to poor HPF. Like, he's staying at below average, so he may get up to above average, but he'll still be a high injury risk. So it's kind of like the guys that are at an elevated or high injury risk that are at above average, close to peak, their performance, that's like high risk but high reward kind of thing, right? So you're kind of like, you know, throwing the, you know, it's kind of like a 50-50 thing. So you got to, you know, he may do great for you in one game, but then the next game after that, he may be injured again. So it's kind of like that type of thing with A.J. Pollock.
What would be his optimal recovery time?
Right now, third groin injury. Probably, you know, the algorithm will say between 6 to 8 weeks. Right now, we have, you know, right around 7 weeks.
Okay.
You should have lied to him, Doc. He doesn't. He's not reacting too good.
I'm a little depressed.
I feel like I just killed his day. I'm sorry about that. I feel really bad.
We're talking to Dr. A, of course. Inside Injuries. Download the app, Corey. I know you have it. You use it.
Yeah. Inside Injuries. I love Inside Injuries. I love Dr. A. The whole thing is great because we need this information to win championships.
Absolutely. Now, Doc, we've talked to you before about blister issues. When it comes to Rich Hill, and you had mentioned it's where the blister on your hand or on your arm or wrist or fingers, where it is. Now, Johnny Cueto last night now has, what, two or three blisters on his fingers. And I know this happened last night, but to me, if you have multiple blisters growing on your hand, that has to be a Yelston, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it just depends. Unfortunately, we don't know what the blister looks like. If it's a minor one, that
right.
is just very superficial, not that deep. You know, they can easily treat it, cover it, and it wouldn't really affect his ability from a pitch standpoint. A little deeper, you know, then it starts to get pretty painful, and it's very, very difficult to treat the pain because it's the contact aspect, you know, of the ball, you know, where he touches the
sure.
ball. And remember, it's the finger. Which finger is it on, right?
Right.
So, yeah, closer to the thumb is worse than, like, toward the fourth and fifth digits.
Oh, that's good to know. I know this one's on his middle finger for Cueto, so that's very, very interesting. Why is that more important on your thumb and your index finger rather than closer to your fourth and fifth finger?
Well, it's always believed that the thumb, the index finger, and the middle finger, you know, in order, are the most important things to a human being from a finger standpoint. Because the thumb is the stability, the index finger, those are the real stability muscles, and the middle finger from a holding of a baseball, those are the real stability fingers. When you throw the fourth and the fifth fingers in there, they're more finesse and they, you know, in terms of different types of pitches. But when you have a lot of pain against the index finger, or the thumb, that's the main stability finger of holding a baseball.
Well, there you go. That's pretty interesting, Corey.
No, it is. This is good stuff, man, as always. You know what I'm saying? Doc, I would have brought out skeleton and started breaking some things down like that, but I'll save that for the next time you come to the city. You feel what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Are you guys talking about Jacob DeGrom?
Yeah, I was just about to lead into that, you know, with him talking about Johnny Cueto with the blisters. DeGrom has been actually pushed one day, allowing the opportunity for Matt Modiga to pick up Robert Gesellman in his league and start him today. He only got pushed back one day, and I was at Citi Field yesterday, and he was actually taking batting practice. So it seems like he looks okay, Doc.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think he needs to be pushed back a few more days. The algorithm is saying he should not pitch tomorrow. He should pitch next week, give it a full week to Monday or Tuesday. So, I mean, it's a short period. You know, right now he's remaining elevated injury risk, 14%. Low injury risk threshold starts at 12%. So he's, like, right on the cusp. So a few more days, he should drop into low injury risk. So that's why the algorithm's saying next week.
Well, the Mets, unfortunately, are probably not going to give him. We're down this road. They're not going to give him a few days. So, you know, what's the risk of him, like, having control issues, coming out of the game, et cetera?
Yeah, that's the whole issue, right? Like if they don't rest him, you know, in our mind, if they don't rest him until next week, he will maybe worsen that blister, have control issues, maybe velocity. You know, right now the way he stands, he's got to decrease anywhere from 4 to 10 miles an hour potentially in that fastball. So But, you know, that's exactly right, Scott. You know, the control issue as well as fastball velocity and breaking ball, all of those things come together. And, you know, his performance may not be as great unless they just, give him a few more days. I think if he can not pitch tomorrow, Monday or next week, he'll be good to go again.
Well, you could have lied to me, too, because I have this guy in two leagues.
He's on your favorite team.
Oh, man.
For the purposes of this.
I usually am the bearer of bad news. That's just the nature of injuries, unfortunately.
No, you weren't about Tyson Ross.
Get some good news sometimes.
Yeah, I was pumped for the Tyson Ross news. That was awesome. Matty?
Well, let's stay positive. I think you're going to give us some good news on this guy. As fragile as he is, Steven Matz.
Yeah, so... We're 0 for 2 with you, my friend, today. You flexor. So, grade 2 flexor tendon strain. You know, he just has had multiple injuries and surgeries to that same throwing shoulder, Tommy John, a long time ago, but then he had a bone spur removal in 16. Now he's got this chronic flexor tendon strain. He's still being listed as high injury risk and below average, even though he's still he's 2 months essentially from his injury date. And the Mets are doing the right thing in terms of possibly having him return in early June. So June is probably a good time frame from when he returns.
I can assure you the Mets ultimately will not do the right thing. Dr. Ray, we appreciate the time. Talk to you next week, my friend. When do we return? We'll choose our own adventure. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Gentlemen!
Why'd you touch me?
We have 20 minutes left of the program. And I want the ability to choose our own adventure. Now, I have to get rid of some of these, because we talked about it with Dr. A, which is awesome. So I will get rid of Tyson Fury, because Tyson Ross is awesome. I don't need to do that anymore. Let's start with the King. We've started with Corey. We've started with Matt before. I want to start with the King and choose your adventure. All right, King?
All right. Let's do it, Greg. Come on.
All right. Well, I also have to get rid of the Johnny's got too many spots. I make myself laugh. Okay. You like that one?
No, I guess the whole thing got to come together.
It was like Johnny on the spot. It's an inside now it's Johnny joke. Too many spots. Thank you, Matt. I thought I was creative when I wrote it. Okay. Scott, would you like to choose between cotton picking?
Oh, what? What
kind of... I wrote that for Corey's in the act, so I have to leave it in here. Cotton picking, McLovin, or Amir Abdullah?
McLovin.
We're going with McLovin.
Interesting. I got a homeboy.
That's what Don Burns used to look like when he wore glasses.
I got my man Trevor Ray. I'm on one of his websites right now.
Thanks.
McLovin.
McLovin. Played by Christopher Mintz plus A, not Trevor Ray. Lance.
Similar.
McLovin has to deal, of course, with Lance McCullers, who went 5 innings last night, but just 5 innings. Like one hit, walked a couple guys, hit a batter, threw 96 pitches in those 5 innings, Scotty. Now, my first reaction was this is very annoying because he goes 5 innings, he throws 96 pitches, and it bothers me. And then I'm like, you know what? I don't want him throwing 110 pitches because I want him to last the full season. I want him to be able to ride me into September to try to win me a championship. Ultimately, if the 7 innings and 120 pitches is going to hurt him, give me the 5 shutout innings happily. Where are you with Lance McCullers, giving you only 7 innings like twice all year?
I think this is a team that has the best record in baseball. They want to continue contending, so they're going to be careful with a young pitcher when you look at the fact that he really hasn't gone extensively into a full season. I think as a fantasy player, if you get the wins and you'll get 5 innings, you get 7 strikeouts, you got to be okay with it. How good has Lance McCullers been? He has not allowed an earned run since May 1st. That's how good Lance McCullers has been. I think you have to be okay. You can't always fret about things that you can't control. You can't control when the manager's going to pull him. Look at Zach Greinke, 8 2/3 the other night. They pull him for the last out. So you can't control this. We've seen Don Mattingly pull guys with no hitters. So you just put him in the lineup and you continue to get the numbers.
Do you think maybe possibly the Tigers were like, you know what, let's extend these at-bats so we can get this dude out the game and see if we can have some luck versus the bullpen, because ain't nobody hitting this McCullers guy right now?
The bullpen's been very, very good.
Well, the thing with McCullers, he's made 10 game starts. I was actually watching the game. I heard them talking about how A.J. Hinch does protect him around that 100 pitch, which I think right now is smart. We're still in May, so I think that's the right course. But he's made 10 game starts, and only three times has he not pitched six innings. So it's not like he's going out there and just barely, you know, getting through five.
Yeah.
He's putting up great numbers. You're ecstatic if you own him. I own him. I'm ecstatic. So, I mean, this is the, like Greg said, you want him towards the end of the season to be there. And if, you know, if occasionally he's only going to pitch five innings, hey, it's five shutout innings. So
yeah, that's true.
As Scotty mentioned, Houston has the best record in baseball. They have the best bullpen in baseball right now. And you can rely on that. And they are, which is smart. A.J. Hinch did a nice job out there in Houston. Yesterday, Yuli Gurriel hit his fourth home run of the year for Houston. Gurriel now batting .269, .305 OBP. And Mikey Maddox, who was the only hit the 2 days ago for Detroit, has his second home run of the year. Jordan Zimmermann, six innings, five hits, four runs, two of which were earned, three strikeouts.
Yeah, Jordan Zimmermann, unusually good start for him. He's been terrible since he's come over to the American League.
Yeah. There's really nothing to say about Jordan. I mean, you don't want to own Jordan Zimmermann.
Speechless. Madika is speechless when it comes to Jordan Zimmermann's performance.
Let's choose your own adventure, Corey.
All right, let's go.
Are you ready?
Yep.
Would you like to choose cotton picking?
No, I'm not going to choose cotton picking. It's over.
All right, cotton picking. Lester Holt's nightly news or Amir Abdullah?
Let me go with Amir Abdullah, because Lester Holt, I'm not a big fan.
You like Lester Holt? I thought you did like Lester Holt.
He's cool, but he's a little bit too buttoned up for me.
All right, fair enough. Amir Abdullah has to do with a call that I made yesterday and Monday, and I was angry about it because I'm an idiot. And I started Amir Garrett last night.
I did too.
And I'm like, I know I shouldn't start Amir Garrett. I know he's facing Cleveland. I know this is a bad start. Why am I going to do this when I have Lance McCullers? I have Clayton Kershaw. I should just let them do their thing and not push my luck here with Amir Garrett. And I said, you know what? Whatever. Let's do it. And he got bombed, Corey.
Yeah, nah. And
I did it too, by the way.
Yeah, but so
I did it. We all did it.
We all
sat at the table like, all right, we'll all do this together. We all did it.
Misery loves company. Yeah, right. Cliche, yeah.
Exactly.
He's getting his command is starting to suffer. He's getting behind in the count. Confidence is waning, and he's starting to give up the long ball. There you go right there. That's a problem.
Encarnacion took him deep twice last night, and both times the body language was like this for you watching on television.
Yeah, see, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
See, that sending him down to the minor leagues might have messed with his confidence. You feel what I mean?
I don't disagree with you, because he was pitching really, really well. I mean, but he went down to the minors, he faced six batters and struck them all out. So he came back and probably feeling really confident, gets bombed, and then gets bombed!
Struggling to find the strike zone, Madika.
This is a young pitcher. Yeah. He's going to have these highs and lows throughout the season. And look, the Reds got to let this kid ride it out. I think he's better than what he's shown. I mean, we talked earlier after he was real, when he was at his highest. We said if he pitched to a 3.50 ERA rest of the season, we would have been ecstatic. So, you know, you have to take it into a take it for what it is. I mean, it's not too much to really get over analytical.
Yes, it happens. It's a young pitcher struggling with his command, and then now he's throwing the ball over the plate, and big sluggers like Ed E can take you out the ballpark.
And the Reds are a team that he can stay at the major league level and work on his game. There's
there
no reason
right there
for him to be down in the minor leagues. Right.
Temper your expectations.
Let's go to you, sir. Matt Modica. Yes, Scott?
I just have a piece of breaking news.
Uh-oh.
Colin Kaepernick will work out for the Seahawks today.
How about that?
In person.
There you go. Yeah. I thought your breaking news would be that Mike Williams isn't practicing anytime soon for the Los Angeles Chargers due to a back injury.
What?
That's more.
Back tightness for Mike Williams. Remember, Tyrell Williams, Keenan Allen are there.
Yep.
Just saying. All right. Let's choose your own adventure, Matt Modica. Would you like to choose cotton picking or Lester Holt's nightly news?
I guess since I'm the GOP guy, we go with cotton picker.
That's a good one.
If we had to name the episode today, that's what I would name it. Because I'm the GOP guy, I will choose cotton picking. Well done, Matt Lynch.
Jarrell Cotton?
Well, Jarrell Cotton, indeed, yeah. Jarrell Cotton, Jesse Hahn got hurt last night, left the game after two innings, which has to mean, I believe, that Jarrell Cotton is coming back from the minors. You mentioned it to me, I think, during the break, Modica. How imperative is it if someone dropped Jarrell Cotton when he back down to the minor leagues to pick him back up?
I don't know if it's imperative. Everybody was excited about this guy. I had to make a decision this weekend in Feb. Jarrell Cotton was there. Robert Gzelman was there. I went with the guy who was going to get the start for San Diego, a guy that I liked more coming into the season than Cotton. And hopefully that little stint in the bullpen will help him out, get stuff refined. I don't know, but I chose Gzelman. I would be going after Cotton, though. He did pitch well in his minor league appearance. He does need to translate that into the MLB game, which I think will come for him. I think he's too talented. People say he has one of the best changeups in baseball already.
Really, really good cutter, too.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just, as we just mentioned, young pitchers have to find themselves.
A mating call.
Have to find themselves, and, you know, he'll have some struggles, and he'll have some dominant outings, too. So he's a person of interest, yes.
When I watched him when he was up the first time, you know, it's like sometimes when he gets rattled, he starts aiming instead of pitching. And, you know, it becomes a question, like any of these guys that they sent down to the minors. You know, Blake Snell got sent down too. Adam Conley got sent down too. Although Conley, we've seen, you know, he got batted around last year too. So, yeah, Snell is another guy. You know, do you pick him up?
You know, it's interesting because in regards to Robert Gzelman, he was available in my league. He played San Diego today, and I was like, this is a nice start. And I was like, I just don't buy what you have been saying. I was like,
I can see the apprehension. Yeah.
He'll give up solo shots to Myers and Schimpf.
And what about Renfro?
But the thing is,
double.
Like
he'll win 6-3.
I don't know if he solved it yet, but like we saw that first bullpen stint in Arizona, what he misses is where he gets hurt, and we saw Yasmani Tomas. Just he left the ball was supposed to be outside, he came right in, and he crushed it. So hopefully that's getting rectified.
In his two innings of work, Jesse Hahn, before he left with that tricep injury, went two innings, allowed 7 hits, 5 runs. But there was a lot more injuries in this game, which is very, very frustrating. Yonder Alonso, who came back in this game after having a knee injury, hits a home run, and then leaves the game with a bruised wrist.
Yeah, he got hit by a pitch.
You hope the Freddie Freeman injury isn't there with Yonder Alonso.
No, but he was in a lot. I saw it last night. He was in a lot of pain.
I think the X-rays came back negative.
Oh, that's good.
I thought I saw that.
Wait until I get the MRI.
Dr. M.
You know, my pitchers in Tout Wars last night, 16 earned runs.
It's annoying. That's not good.
No, it's terrible.
It's not good.
You're going to have to have a pitching meeting today.
Who's
your pitching coach?
Matt Modica.
Hey, you're coming on the carpet today, Matt.
Yeah, you got to talk to your pitchers today. Amir Garrett, Hahn, you know what I mean? Jimmy Nelson. These guys stunk to join up for me last night.
You sound like Terry Collins this morning. What the hell happened, goddammit?
So Yonder Alonso left this game with a bruised wrist last night. Again, he wasn't the only player to leave to get hurt. Christian Yelich also hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and he's day-to-day.
And he's day-to-day. And he says, listen, I don't know if I'm coming back anytime soon either. So when a player says that,
Marlins ain't playing well.
Not playing well, not staying healthy either. We come back and we will wrap up the show when we return. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Hey.
You heard from Matt Shoemaker then, of course. We heard from him on the Roto Experts at the park. If you want to hear the full extended version of Matt Shoemaker's interview with Scott the King Angle, check out Roto Experts On Demand, Roto Experts at the Park On Demand, iTunes, SoundCloud, the Google Play Store, Audio Boom, wherever you listen to your podcast, wherever you're listening to us right now, you could check out Roto Experts On Demand at the park with Matt Shoemaker and Scott Angle. The last Choose Your Adventure, gentlemen, which nobody chose, was Lester Holt's nightly news, which had to do with John Lester's complete game last night. The Cubbies
win 4-1 over San Francisco. And as I said, John Lester gets the complete game. 4 hits, 1 run. He struck out 10 and walked nobody. In fact, he didn't even allow stolen bases. Eduardo Nunez got caught stealing. In fact, I believe I read that 13 men have tried to steal bases off of John Lester this year. Only six have been successful. There's six or seven have been successful. So basically, half of the runners against Lester have been thrown out, which is crazy because Lester can't hold anybody on. So that was actually a crazy stat. We talked about it with Dr. Ray a moment ago. Johnny Cueto allowed 4 runs on 6 innings, but he now has multiple blisters on his hand and fingers. He was pitching through one. Now he's got another one. And as Dr. Ray told us, when it's on one of those first 3 fingers, it really affects how you grip the baseball. We know the new one is in the middle of that middle finger. Johnny Cueto, Matt, may need a couple days off here.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. The Giants, the hits keep on coming, so maybe a 10-day DL would probably seem like the way things are going. The one thing I will say with Lester, I know he going into last night, he had like a 350-ish ERA. He's a guy in redraft leagues that, I mean, every year, he's a guy that now you should be targeting to own because he's a guy that takes it to the end of the season. He's there for you in September, especially like head-to-head formats. So,
And as far as Cueto goes, that was the first time in 3 years that he allowed 3 home runs in a game.
3 home runs. One to Kyle Schwarber, who now 2 games in a row with this Zobrist-Schwarber lineup.
Longest home run of his career for Schwarber.
It was Schwarber in the 2 holes. Zobrist in the leadoff spot yesterday. I'm sorry, 2 days ago. It was Zobrist with the home run. Yesterday, Schwarber with the home run as the Cubs tried to get these two guys on track. Although, to be honest with you, Zobrist at 252 with a 344 OBP. That's kind of what he does.
Well, Zobrist, to me, should have been the leadoff hitter to begin with.
And you've been saying that for a while. So Schwarber's 7th home run of the year. Jason Hayward hits his 4th homer of the year, while Anthony Rizzo goes deep for the 9th time here this year.
Rizzo's starting to pick it up, too, after a bad first month.
9 home runs. Still batting .224, though.
Yeah, but everything's pointing to he'll better days ahead. I think it was BABIP's like .200.
Absolutely, which I think most of us saw coming. Matt, before we go, I did want to ask you, we're going to go over some FIP and XFIP tomorrow on the show, but I wanted to ask you one last football note. You had the 7th pick yesterday. You had 7th pick yesterday?
5th
pick yesterday. Only 7 picks total were made. Who were the first 4 off the board?
It was David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown.
Okay.
The 4th player timed out after 8 hours and got Ezekiel Elliott.
So Ezekiel Elliott, which means on the board for you, were Odell Beckham Jr., who you're high on, Julio Jones, who you love, you're concerned about the foot injury, Mike Evans, A.J. Green, T.Y. Hilton, all the wide receivers other than Antonio Brown, and then Melvin Gordon, who you said, you know, is your top-ranked running back after the big three. Where'd you go?
I went with Odell Beckham. I still think he hasn't exhibited his best season yet. My only concern with him is the quarterback. I'm not a big Eli guy, but hopefully Eli can have that bounce back season this year. And Mike Evans was also in the consideration. I am a big Mike Evans guy as well. And, you know, so I was happy with that. I really wanted to take Julio, but that foot.
Corey, I know you'll talk more about Matt's first 7 picks on the Old School Fantasy Hour. Next, what else you got going on in the OGs today?
Also, we got this the Roto Experts standard mock draft is started, is kicked off. The first 2 picks have been made, so we'll talk with George Kurtz about that, Matt Medica, and talk about some of the things. Then I'm looking at this report with Chargers first round wide receiver Mike Williams not participating in OTAs. That's gonna mess him up. So I want to take a look at that, the wide receiver depth in San Diego.
I'm really interested in hearing about that with Keenan Allen returning, and of course Tyrell Williams still being there as well. That's it. The Roto Experts are done. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Eastern for another edition. For Matty Modica, for Scott the King Angle, and for Corey the Fantasy Executive Parson, my name is Greg Sussman. Have a fantastic Wednesday afternoon, and we will see you tomorrow. Have a good one, everybody. Bye-bye.